AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden took a partial victory for a strengthening economy in last night's State of the Union address, his first before a divided Congress.
Thanks to what you've all done, we're exporting American products and creating American jobs. But we have more to do. But here at home, inflation is coming down.
Our correspondent Nancy Cordes from Washington.
President Biden's second State of the Union address started with a show of bipartisanship as he congratulated the new House Speaker, Republican Kevin McCarthy.
Speaker, I don't want to ruin your reputation, but I look forward to working with you.
But the night quickly took a turn. And McCarthy had to shush members of his own party at least four times as they booed and interrupted the president when he talked about China, about fentanyl, and when he noted that some Republicans have proposed cutting Medicare and Social Security.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak greeted Ukraine's president on the tarmac when he arrived for a surprise visit to London. The two men met at 10 Downing Street. Then Volodymyr Zelensky addressed the British Parliament in a bid for more military support.
We will always come out on top of evil. This lies at the core of our, but also your, traditions.
Zelensky is also meeting with King Charles. It's a race against time to find additional survivors trapped in massive mounds of rubble in the frigid cold after Monday's 7.8 earthquake that devastated parts of Turkey and Syria. Today, the death toll topped 11,000. In Pyongyang, marked the 75th anniversary of the country's army. Small government-organized groups performed. Others held signs praising the Korean People's Army. The King gets a new title after last night's Lakers game. CBS's Steve Futterman was there.
What a moment for LeBron James. He is now the NBA's all-time leading scorer. And the crowd here chanting MVP. He entered the league 20 years ago, and tonight he attains one of the greatest records in basketball.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who held the title for almost 40 years, was there to congratulate his successor.
LeBron has conducted himself with class. He had a plan. He came right out of high school and went after excellence on the court.
CVS is taking a giant plunge into primary medical care. It's reached a $10.6 billion all-cash deal to buy clinic owner Oak Street Health. It adds hundreds of senior clinics, as well as about 600 physicians and nurse practitioners for COVID vaccinations, strep tests, and other services at CVS pharmacies. S&P futures down 20, Dow futures off 119. This is CBS News.
You know, it's true.
Do you wish deciding if building, remodeling, or finding a new home would be as easy as learning your ABCs and 1-2-3s? Well, it can be if you work with Key Savings Bank at 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, or the town of Rome. Our experienced staff will take the time to help you explore your options, such as our owner-builder loan, flexible terms, and competitive rates, too. At Key Savings Bank, we'll help you make the right decision and avoid any unnecessary hurdles. You'll feel right at home in no time. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. First responders rescued 11 people stranded on an ice floe in Door County earlier this week. Five adults and six kids were stuck on a large sheet of ice on Green Bay, just northwest of Sturgeon Bay. It happened on Monday. The Coast Guard is urging people to be careful when going out on the ice, especially with fluctuating temperatures on the Great Lakes. Remember, no ice is safe ice. The Republican-controlled legislature has the power to anonymously delay or permanently stop stewardship projects in the state. If conservationists or the state wants to purchase land, certain thresholds need to be approved by the legislature. Governor Tony Evers wants to increase the threshold and not allow objections to be anonymous. His budget will also contain more money for planting trees, combating invasive species, and job training in clean energy and conservation. In sports, the Badgers beat Penn State last night, 79-74. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Overcast skies this afternoon with mixed precipitation possible at times. Daytime highs approaching 38. North winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. High temperatures reach up to 26. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Jim Santel, I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
How many plays have you done over the years?
Oh, many. Many, many, many.
Would you do another one? Should we do a play? And put it up somewhere and do it as like a fundraiser someday?
That'd be great.
No business like show business like show business.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the noon hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are, the rain has turned to big sloppy snow.
Yeah, that kind of happened rather suddenly.
Rather, it's not really sticking.
No, it's pretty mild yet, but.
But this is your hourly reminder that I'm going to steal from Jane that if your wipers are on, your lights should be on.
It's a state law.
And so we marched through our noon hour today at 12:30. Phoebe Petrovic is going to join us. And she's an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch. And her pieces from December are on policing pregnancy in Wisconsin and the amount of women, pregnant women, who are investigated and charged with harm to their unborn child, and all of the ramifications of what we know about substance abuse and it being a mental health issue, and that you can't, and that punitive measures don't necessarily improve their situation or systemically that situation. And so we're going to talk more about her pieces and also what medical professionals actually suggest in these scenarios for the second half of this half hour. But to kick off, while we were very excited about Biden's appearance in Wisconsin yesterday, we aired it live across the Civic Media Network. But while that was happening in Congress, Congress had three former Twitter executives. They had a hearing to really dig into how much the government and the FBI is influencing social media. And so
to pick on conservatives
yes, specifically. And there was a lot of good clips that came out of yesterday. But basically what I kind of sum this up, that the Republicans who are going after this are living in a very distorted world. They're not living in reality. And, you know, because yesterday they continued to push a factually unsupported narrative about the federal government secretly colluding with Twitter to censor the New York Post's Hunter Biden laptop story in 2020. Now, Twitter has admitted that they erred on censoring that story. There was no FBI collusion.
No FBI involvement in suppressing that story at all.
There is no real evidence to support that the FBI was working with Twitter. And yet, Republicans were unrelenting in peddling this to the public. And at Wednesday's hearing, they showed no regard for misinforming those who turn to them for accurate information, or the fact that they were smearing a private business and its former executives in the process. And so, and also it just seemed like, to a certain extent, some of them just wanted to be angry that at one point they were either suspended or kicked off the platform. I think Lauren Boebert has something. Why did I get kicked off? Let's play that one.
Mr. Roth, Ms. Gatti, did either of you approve the shadow banning of my account at Lauren Boebert? Yes or no?
No, I did not.
Not to the best of my recollection.
Well, let me refresh your memory, because on March 12th, 2021, and Mr. Roth, I know you looked at it, because Fascist Twitter 1.0 had a public interest exceptions policy, which means for members of Congress to be shadow banned, it had to go before you, Mr. Roth. So I'll ask again, did you shadow ban my account? Yes or no?
Again, not to the best of my recollection.
So the answer is, Mr. Roth, yes, you did. I found out last night from Twitter staff that you suppressed my account for this tweet. It's a freaking joke about Hillary Clinton being angry that she couldn't rig her election. It's a joke. But in response, being the sinister overlords that you all are, you placed a 90-day account filter so I could not be found. And now we see here that Twitter staff said the visibility filter on my account excluded me from top searches, prevented notifications for non-followers, and much more. This is considered an aggressive visibility filter. You silenced members of Congress from communicating with their constituents. You silenced me from communicating with the American people over a freaking joke. Now, who the hell do you think that you are?
Yeah, it's like Festivus airing of grievances in Congress now.
We can look to Twitter employees.
We can look forward to this for the next 2 years. Who do you think you are?
I mean, it's just, so despite, again, no evidence that came from yesterday that this is happening, it's just that there is a certain amount of Republicans who are married to pushing claims that Silicon Valley is intentionally and unjustly censoring conservative views, even when there are no facts to support that narrative. But what's ironic is the fact that in yesterday's hearing, what did get revealed is that Twitter did fall to Trump and changed its policies after it had concluded that he had broken their policies. Let's play the AOC clip.
I'd like to show you a tweet posted by former President Trump about my colleagues and I on July 14, 2019. It says in part, quote, "Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came? Then come back and show us how it's done. These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough. I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi would be very happy as quickly to work out free travel arrangements." A day or two after that, Donald Trump publicly incited, you know, violence at a rally, targeting four congresswomen, including myself, saying, "Go back to where you came from." Ms. Navarulli, as I understand it, you were the most senior member of Twitter's content moderation team, or a senior member of Twitter's content moderation team when this was posted. As part of your responsibilities, did you review this tweet?
Yes, it was my team's responsibility to review these tweets.
And what did you conclude?
My team, Ray, made the recommendation that for the first time, we find Donald Trump in violation of Twitter's policies and use the public interest interstitial.
For the first time?
Yes.
And at the time, Twitter's policy included a specific example when it came to banned abuse against immigrants, as they specifically included the phrase, "go back to your country," or "go back to where you came from," correct?
Yes, that was specifically included in the content moderation guidance as
and
an example.
You brought this up to the vice president of trust and safety, Del Harvey, correct?
I did, yes.
And she overrode your assessment, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
And something interesting happened after she overrode your assessment. A day or two later, Twitter seemed to have changed their policies, didn't they?
Yes, that trope, "go back to where you came from," was removed from the content moderation guidance as an example.
So Twitter changed their own policy after the president violated it in order to potentially accommodate his tweet?
Yes.
Thank you. So much for bias against right wing on Twitter.
She is equally sassy. I do understand why conservatives don't like her, but at least she uses a Socratic method to ask questions to get to her point versus just ranting and yelling. But to sum up what that line of question was, Trump broke policy. The head of content moderation, who was there yesterday, said, we flagged this and it was overridden by my boss because it was Trump. And then the even better one, which we can't play, is what they tried to get the Chrissy Teigen tweet taken down. Chrissy Teigen, who is a potty mouth. I think she's been a lot quieter lately. Shockingly, we found out that she was a little bit of a mean girl and a little bit of a bully in her past. But it's only when she was bullying people that it was punching down. But when she was bullying Trump, it was pretty entertaining. But when Teigen called Trump a series of
profanities,
expletives.
Yes.
One starts with a P, one starts with an A, one starts with a B. I'll let you guess what she called him, or you could just Google it. The head of the content moderation who was testifying yesterday said she was told by the Trump White House that they contacted Twitter and demanded that it be removed. And so, strangely, the only things that feel like got proved yesterday was that, yes, Twitter has aired in their own back and forth, whether it was the Hunter Biden laptop, the Trump policies, but that they certainly have not done anything with the government, and that this is the burden of being a dominant social media platform, is the decisions around content moderation. But yet now today we're having another weaponization of the collusion between the government and social media and Hunter Biden's laptop, because Ron Johnson is testifying today. Do we know what time
he's been waiting for this moment.
He's been waiting for this moment. I have a great quote that we're going to read on the other side of the commercial.
And I have a great clip from Jamie Raskin, also from yesterday's Twitter hearings.
Do we have time?
No, we don't.
All right, so we'll play that on the other side of this segment as well, or in the next segment, because I think it's going to be interesting to see how this hearing with Ron Johnson testifying. I mean, we've seen how he reacts on the Sunday shows when he doesn't get his coddling. So it should be interesting to see what softballs are thrown to him today, what hardballs, what his batting average is going to be. If any hardballs. All right. Well, we will be right back with those clips. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
One day it's bone-chilling cold. The next, the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Farmers and ranchers have a lot of choices to make. When it comes to your crop insurance needs, the team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services can simplify it all for you. Ag Country's Optimum tool will compare thousands of options based on information from your farm, which will then be used to find the right policy for your operation. Ask about the Optimum tool by contacting your local Ag Country office. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Jaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Aww.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Jane Madnair is on the board. Coming up in this next segment at 12:30, we're going to be talking about policing pregnancy in Wisconsin with Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch. But just to round out our conversation from the Twitter hearings yesterday, Jimmy Raskin had a good clip.
He kind of sums things up in under a minute. Take a listen.
In America, private media companies can decide what to publish or how to curate content however they want. If Twitter wants to have nothing but tweets commenting on New York Post articles run all day, it can do that. If it makes such tweets mentioning New York Post never see the light of day, they can do that too. That's what the First Amendment means. Twitter can ban Donald Trump for inciting violent insurrection against the union as he was impeached by the House of Representatives and his 57 of 100 senators found he did. And it can also try to resurrect his political career. Elon Musk just purchased Twitter and therefore controls its editorial content. And among the first things he did was to fire some people, hire some people, denounce some prior decisions, and reinstate an unrepentant and still clearly lying Donald Trump to the platform. Those decisions, however heroic or imbecilic you think they might be, are protected by the First Amendment in the United States of America.
Indeed.
Just tiny little, you know, insignificant details about the First Amendment.
About the First Amendment.
Private companies.
It protects you from being persecuted and prosecuted for what you say. It does not entitle you to say whatever you want on social media platforms.
What I think is so hilarious about that Lauren Boebert clip that we played, they're all over other networks. They're all over media. They're on Fox. They're on Newsmax. They're on all, you know, they have their own podcasts. You're not being silenced.
I know.
Across the board. It's just not true.
Well, it was like when our senior senator wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal and was about being censored.
And it was in the, so no one would publish it. His article was obviously squashed by being printed in the Wall Street Journal.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Who is this Ron Johnson guy who we never hear from anymore?
At
Must
all.
Be because people are censoring him. Well, yeah. Speaking of Ron Johnson, he is testifying today during a Republican-led hearing of the Congressional Subcommittee that's investigating the alleged weaponization of the government against Republicans. Aren't Republicans part of the government?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe so.
He plans to speak about the roadblocks he faced from government agencies during his investigation into President Joe Biden's son, his personal investigation, Hunter Biden, that concluded in 2020 while Johnson was the chair of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. And so I think who else is it's Chuck Grassley, former Democrat and former presidential candidate, Tulsi Gabbard. They're also testifying today. But I just love, this was a quote that was from a Johnson spokesperson, Corinne Day, that was in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, that it's just so dramatic. So I think it just primes what some of the clips we'll be able to grab and play for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Quote, for years, Senator Johnson has warned the public about the coordination between government agencies, Democrat members of Congress, and the liberal media to suppress and censor the truth. The senator has witnessed firsthand the lengths these entities will go to obstruct and discredit anyone who attempts to provide transparency and facts that run counter to the left-wing agenda. He looks forward to providing his testimony and perspective before the House Select Committee.
Yeah, we want the facts. We want the truth. Like when he admitted on microphone that Donald Trump lost in Wisconsin.
And how the FBI set him up.
Right.
But that it's too. Not clear. This is Jim Jordan, who is the head of this subcommittee. It's unclear if any Democrats will get to question him.
Probably not.
But it's likely to center around his investigation with Grassley into Hunter Biden's ties to the Ukrainian energy company, Burisma, while Joe Biden was vice president.
And can I just say, if Hunter Biden did something wrong and illegal, good, then get him.
Totally.
I have no problems with that.
I completely agree. Like, I think this is always the thing. It's the same thing with the documents, where it's like, if you broke a rule, you broke a rule, and we're not protecting you just because, I mean, because I don't really, is Hunter, it's just so interesting to think of, like, getting into the obsession that Ron Johnson has with this over more pressing issues. Like, I feel like we sit here every day and we try to balance bring enough fun and lighthearted stuff so it's not always so depressing. But, you know, the topic we're going to talk about in the next segment, pretty depressing. Talking about tomorrow, the aging population we have in Wisconsin and the increasing amount of young people who are dying from homicides and opioid overdoses in Wisconsin. And then after that, we're going to talk about Emerald Bay because of the rising cost and their negotiated prices with their Medicare has to start kicking people out, has to start kicking
evicting
old
people
out who are on Medicare because of rising costs. Like, there's so many things that are so broken and so many people who are suffering unnecessarily that it's like, really? Is this the best use of our time?
The Republicans are doing this on behalf of the American people.
Because we need to get to the truth.
We need Hunter Biden's dick pics. I know that's going to fix everything.
Trust will be restored when
yes.
we have that.
Yes.
All right, when we come back, Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch will be here to talk about her article, her investigative piece on policing pregnancy. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little. A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The Town of Grand Rapids Police Department is asking the public for help identifying a vehicle that fled the scene of a crash. It happened on Thursday night around 8:45 p.m. at the intersection of 80th Street South and Washington Street. The vehicle is a 2009 to 2014 Ford F-150. The truck will have substantial front-end damage and is missing the driver's side headlight. If you have any information, please contact the Grand Rapids Police Department or submit a tip to the Wood County Crime Stoppers. The man who pulled a knife on a woman in a Stevens Point parking lot last April has been sentenced. William Gentry, age 52 from Tennessee, stole the woman's car after pulling a knife and threatening her in the Target parking lot. He pleaded guilty to driving the vehicle without the owner's consent while carrying a lethal weapon. Gentry was sentenced to 5 years in prison and 5 years probation. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with mixed precipitation possible at times. Daytime highs approaching 38, north winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 16. High temperatures reach up to 26. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Which you can download wherever you get your apps. Thank you for tuning in today. And a reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast wherever you find podcasts. And also on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen. And you can always join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And so, did you know... This is not such a fun fact, but did you know that Wisconsin's fetal protection law is one of the most punitive in the nation? And to me, when I read these articles, you know, we talk so much about in the wake of Wisconsin's criminal abortion ban, the debate about bodily autonomy, and reading this really brings up questions about bodily autonomy and a woman's body, especially when she before she even knows that she's pregnant. But here to talk about her really incredible investigative pieces that were printed, that were published in Wisconsin Watch, called Policing Pregnancy and Wisconsin's Law on Substance Use in Pregnancy is Wrong, Leading Doctors Say, is Phoebe Petrovic, who is an investigative reporter at Wisconsin Watch, and she focuses on threats to democracy and civic equality for women and LGBTQ people. Welcome to the show, Phoebe.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here because this is one of many pieces I've read of yours that are excellent, but we're going to focus on this one because of time. So I want to start by just the story that you open with in the first piece of Policing Pregnancy, because, you know, starting with the individual versus the numbers is always more powerful. But this story in particular kind of just feels like a gut punch. So the story you open with is of a young woman who is suffering from depression and fatigue. She was a cancer survivor, but she was also unemployed and uninsured and not even able to get on Badger Care yet. And unknowingly, she was in her second trimester when she found out that she was pregnant. And so she checked herself in for care. And while she did get that care, she was not allowed to check herself out because the county had requested a temporary physical custody under the Unborn Child Protection Act. Now, to me, that seems like a nightmare, considering in the scenario that you wrote for this specific case, she did not know that she was pregnant, and yet they claimed that she was intentionally harming her fetus. And then the rest of the story, which goes into depth of how much this Unborn Child Protection Act really targets low-income and vulnerable women in their pregnancies. And I had no idea this was happening. So I guess to start with, what is the Unborn Child Act?
So this is something that passed in 1997, sort of at the tail end of the crack epidemic and this hysteria over crack babies, quote unquote, where there was a lot of media panic about how children born to mothers who were using crack cocaine while they were pregnant were going to be doomed to lives of suffering, were going to be permanently brain damaged and all this, that, and the other, which has been totally scientifically debunked. They actually found that poverty can have a greater impact on your growth and development throughout your life than exposure, gestational exposure to cocaine or substances. But this law made a small change with a huge implication or consequence. So it added the word unborn to Wisconsin's child code. So it said that the Department of Children and Families could exercise jurisdiction over children and unborn children. And so we're the only state in the nation that has a law like this that specifically describes unborn children as zygotes, embryos, fetuses, up from the moment of conception or fertilization until birth. And so that gave DCF, which is sort of implemented on the ground through local child protective services, so CPS, it gave them the authority to surveil pregnant women, pregnant people, and investigate them and encourage them or force them to go to treatment if they are suspected of using drugs or alcohol. And this is something that sort of happens. We found that about 400 women a year are investigated under the auspices of this law. So that's more than one a day on average since 2007. But because this is at the CPS level, it's about intimate family stuff and pregnancy. And then if it goes to the courts, it goes to juvenile court, which is sealed. This is sort of happening almost in secret, that unless you or a family member is personally impacted by this law, you might not know it exists.
And so what the first thing that popped into my mind when I was reading this is this, it feels like the idea of innocent until proven guilty almost doesn't apply in these cases, in these investigations, as far as what is intentional, what is not intentional. When do pregnant people know that they're pregnant and can be investigated for this? And so what authority and how much leniency compared to other crimes is given for DCF in these cases?
Yeah. So the problem is that this law, or one of the problems is that this law has uses the probable cause standard. So there, and actually Wisconsin is one of five, I want to say there's four other states plus us that allow the DCF or the state to take physical custody of a pregnant person who is using drugs or alcohol or is suspected to. So we're one of only five in the nation that allow that, but every other state who does this has a higher legal standard. Ours is probable cause, which someone from Pregnancy Justice, which is an advocacy legal research organization, told me that that practically means that courts only need the suspicion of drug use in order to commit someone and to take away their civil liberties. So all the other states have a clear and convincing standard of evidence. Ours is probable cause. So it's much lower.
Yeah.
And DCF, the documents they have that explain all of the evidence they need for screening in people, is basically the same for determining that they in fact need services. And one of the big problems with Wisconsin's law is that it doesn't really describe very well what this actually means. So Tammy Lacher, the woman we were speaking about, eventually took her case up to the federal court, and a judge tore the standard to shreds and said that, quote, "This is no standard. It simply tells the county worker to collect information on a general topic." But all of these different CPS caseworkers are interpreting the standard differently. And it's all about like degrees, like severe habitual use to a severe degree. Like, well, what does that mean? No one can tell us. The state can't tell us. The statute doesn't tell us. And it's all sort of up to the discretion of an individual caseworker. And one of the problems with that is that we're going to bring our own biases to how we determine that. And, you know, a well-off white woman is probably going to receive less scrutiny than a lower income woman of color.
We're talking to Phoebe Petrovic, who is a Wisconsin Watch investigative reporter, on her piece that was published back in December on policing pregnancy and the fact that Wisconsin is one of, if not the most punitive when it comes to substance abuse for pregnant people. And what is the extent of the ramifications for women who are investigated? Because there was one story in there where someone ended up in handcuffs, right? And did they go to jail?
Yeah, so we know of two women who have been incarcerated under this. There could be more, and it's impossible for us to know the whole scope because DCF doesn't collect that data or make that data publicly available, I should say. And when it gets to the court level, it's juvenile court because they're concerned about the fetus. So because it's a fetus or an unborn child, it happens in juvenile court, which is sealed. But Tammy Lacher ended up in jail, and she actually chose to go to jail. She checked herself in because the alternative for her was to go to treatment, inpatient treatment. And she says that she was told by CPS workers throughout this process that they were going to take her baby away, that she might go to treatment, but because she had put up a fuss, she might lose her child. And so she decided that to fight for her family, she needed to try to do that from jail. Jail is not typically a hygienic place for anyone, but especially not someone who's pregnant. And the big irony of this was that, you know, they were concerned that because they found unconfirmed positives of methamphetamines in her blood or urine and in her tests, they were concerned about the safety of her fetus. But by being incarcerated, she had to miss two prenatal appointments. She was so stressed that she thought she was having a miscarriage twice. And she says that someone told her at the jail, like, well, if you are, there's nothing we can do. Oh my gosh. And she was in solitary confinement for 36 hours in a room that was smeared with human feces and that was freezing cold. And it was not a healthy environment for her at all.
That just makes my stomach turn.
Okay, I'm going to derail things just slightly because this is really making me angry. Why aren't we spying now then on sperm? Should every man who impregnates a woman have his biology checked to see if he uses drugs, if he's drinking? What about the quality of the sperm? Spy on sperm. Spy on sperm.
Hashtag spy on sperm. That is so infuriating. And so I think what complicates this even more, because if I'm correct, Tammy's story is from 2014. Mm-hmm. So this very much predates the reality we're all living in now in Wisconsin, which is a criminal abortion ban. And how much does this Unborn Child Protection Act impact or change, could even whether it is or could change under a place where we no longer can get abortions?
Yeah. So the fear is, from people that I spoke to, including Tammy Leitcher's attorney, who coincidentally was, she worked on this case with now Attorney General Josh Call. So Josh Call was on Tammy's legal team, which seems relevant to me. He's fighting the criminal abortion ban right now. Oh gosh, I just lost my train of thought.
We were asking about how the fear is. Right. Yes.
Yeah, so her fear, Freya Bowen's fear, this attorney's fear, is that now there are women who might have sought abortions, who might not get access to them now, and are pregnant, who are forced to carry pregnancies to term that they otherwise would have chosen to terminate, and that they are going to be under heightened suspicion. And part of the problem with this law, or part of the reality of how it's enforced, is there aren't any mandatory reporters, but lots of physicians and healthcare workers are under the misconception that they are obligated to report a positive drug or alcohol test if someone is pregnant to DCF or CPS, and they're not. The reality is that they're not obligated to report that. Healthcare workers, CPS, and law enforcement are the top three categories of people who refer women under this law to DCF or CPS for investigation. And so the fear is, and I have no way of knowing whether or not this has happened, but the fear is, you know, you end up in the ER, maybe you've had like a car accident or you've fallen and hit your head, and they will check you for drugs or alcohol, and they might also screen you for pregnancy, and then they find out you're pregnant and also have been using alcohol or drugs, and someone might just refer you on without realizing, you know, I didn't know I was pregnant, or I'm intending to travel outside of the state to terminate this, that, or the other.
Well, we have to go to our break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what experts say as far as how, if a person becomes pregnant and they are someone who's struggling with substance abuse, what the actual advised way to give them help, especially if they want to have the baby, because I don't think, like so many things, locking them up does not seem like the answer here, whether it's for deterring it or solving it. But our guest is Phoebe Petrovic from Wisconsin Watch. We're talking about policing pregnancy. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Break in. Get away from my car. Get away.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Phoebe Petrovic, who is an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, which if you do not check out Wisconsin Watch's, like, go to their website, get their newsletter. The investigative and the reporting that you guys do over there is so excellent. We're actually having, I think Mario's coming on next week to talk about his pieces on Kiel. I think we also have the Bitcoin piece. And so the work you all do over there, I can't speak highly enough of, because it's in depth. It's on important topics that you don't necessarily always know that's going on, including how punitive Wisconsin is when it comes to people who are pregnant, who are also suffering from substance abuse. And so the question then becomes, as you said, it was a 90s era law, which, you know, I feel like the 90s was known for pretty punitive laws, as far as that's the way you fix things, is putting people in jail. But I would imagine that medical experts who are substance abuse professionals would say that's not necessarily how you should fix this problem. And so in the second piece that you wrote on this, it was actually talking to people who work with women, men, I mean, substance abuse experts. And so what is a more compassionate and efficient way to help people who are suffering from substance abuse who may become pregnant?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I just want to add, I totally forgot, one of the other fears of this is because the law says controlled substances or controlled substance analogs, in a system that is highly punitive, if there's someone who really wanted to refer you to CPS because you were using Sudafed and you were pregnant, that could happen. So that's one of the fears here too. It's not just about people who are suffering from traditional substance use disorder, but experts who treat people with substance use and who are OBGYNs told the state back in 1997 and still say today that one of the problems with this law is that it will deter people from getting help. And in fact, that has happened, where there was a woman who did not seek prenatal care afterwards because she had been incarcerated under this law. So experts say that to just remove that, remove the possibility that you could become incarcerated or lose your civil liberties and be civilly committed if you are using drugs and alcohol and are pregnant, because that's a huge deterrent from someone getting care. The people that I spoke to said that the most important thing to do, despite this law, is to not avoid treatment, to not delay getting treatment or attempt to hide your pregnancy, to begin prenatal care as soon as possible because it's safer for you and for your baby, but to try to be selective about whom you seek prenatal care from. So try to seek out medical providers who are experienced with caring for women with substance use during pregnancy, and to seek out specifically drug treatment programs or other women who have experience this, who might have referrals. At this point, there isn't sort of a database or list of providers who are good and who are sensitive to this law. But I have sources who are working on that right now, trying to build that database. So that's a resource for people.
Because that was actually going to be my next question, is how many of those, because I mean, Wisconsin, this is a whole other topic, but Wisconsin's also suffering from a lack of doctors, and there's certain areas of there's entire counties that do not have an OBGYN. And so that is a different issue, let alone doctors who can help with pregnancy who are also substance abuse specialists. And so that will be a valuable resource. And so I guess the follow-up question from that, I think, one, what was the point where you wanted to investigate this and write this story? And I think, two, is there a follow-up coming? And did this open a can? Did this open Pandora's box to more stories?
Yeah. So I really wanted to cover this story in particular when thinking about when the Dobbs leak came down, and then when Dobbs came down, thinking about how reproductive rights and bodily autonomy would change in a post-Roe world. And I read this book by Michelle Brachter Goodwin, a law professor, I think at UCLA. I can't recommend highly enough. It's called Policing the Womb. And it's all about bodily autonomy and how the state restricts that. And I realized that there's this whole other realm, right? It's not just people who are pregnant who want to terminate their pregnancies, but there are women who want to keep their pregnancies, become mothers, have children, and the state infringes upon their rights as well. And so I realized that this law was in effect. It was briefly ruled unconstitutional, actually, but then because of a technicality is still in place. And so just couldn't believe that that was happening and wanted to dig into it and share that with people, because the only way, I think it's important that people know about it. And also the only way, save for the legislature to take action, for this to change is for a brave woman to come forward and challenge it as she's going through it, challenge it through the courts. Yeah, I mean, since the story published, we've been getting floods of tips of families who are experiencing this themselves, who have lost children, who've lost grandchildren. And one of the things I really want to dig into is we did a data analysis that found that Native American women in particular are disproportionately policed by DCF and CPS under this law. And that was corroborated by anecdotal reports from a public defender. And so I really want to dig into why that's the case and what effect that has on Wisconsin's Native American communities.
I prefaced this, I think, at the beginning. I was like, we're going to have a heavy topic, and it is heavy. And hats off as far as your emotional stamina to research and investigate this. And so I guess, as you said, just to quickly end, as far as you said, there the two options basically to fix this are for a brave woman to go through a court, like to file a lawsuit and try to go through the courts and get the law actually changed, or for our legislature to actually do something about it. Has there been any attempt or bills, even if they don't go anywhere, that you know of, to try to overturn this law through lawmakers?
So I do know that after the story came out, one of my sources, who's Dr. Charles Schauberger, he's one of the providers that women could go seek out. He sent it to his assemblyman, who said that this deserves a legislative study committee, but I have no idea whether or not that's gone forward. If he's listening, he should do that.
I want to share a real quick text from the 414. I know that if my wife wants to get any of my medical information, she has to go through a whole bunch of hoops. Whatever happens to women's medical privacy rights?
That is a very good point.
Yeah, we don't have them anymore.
Well, on that note, Phoebe Petrovic, thank you so much for writing these articles. Thank you for doing the reporting. And thank you for spending time with us today and breaking it down for us, because it's a really important story that deserves a lot of attention from all of us.
Thank you so much for having me and shining a light on this.
Absolutely. We'll have you back for either the continuation of this story or your next report. And so for us, that will wrap it up for the noon hour. When we come back, Dr. Mike will be here for the last time this season to fix your life and your lineup. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Me.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. but MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more
WFHR,
at MDA.org.
Wisconsin today. Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your home.